Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I don't know shit about fuck.
I like sucking.
Legit bad podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Welcome back to Legit Bad. We've just had a great half hour of a non-intro that we've been laughing about all kinds of fun stuff. Asians and Kevin Spacey. Yeah, we can mention that. It's true.
We deleted it because we didn't
laugh. I didn't say anything else. I just said we were laughing at Kevin Spacey.
Okay, we were.
We laugh at all kinds of stuff. We laugh at white people. Look at us.
Yep.
So we had Josh Monday on the show today. He's a Christian rapper. Don't let that hold you back. It's a great talk. He knows his stuff. We're going to play his song at the end of the show. It's probably the only conspiracy rap I've ever heard in my life. He has somebody else on that does the first couple verses. Or first verse, I don't know. But check him out. He's at Josh Monday Music on Instagram. Don't cut me off, bitch.
It's BET.
I wasn't cutting you off, to be fair. It's just that long of a lag.
I know. We're working with it. At Josh Monday Music on Instagram. And I think he's also on YouTube. He says it in the show, so you can hear that. Oh, I thought you were waiting for something. This is what editing is
for. He totally knew his stuff, though. I was impressed with how
he
had notes. He had his stuff down. He knew a lot.
He was better at podcasting than we were.
I was surprised because I was unprepared for it. The school shooting stuff, I was pretty young during that time. I was older than you guys, I guess, but still pretty young and wasn't paying attention to any of that. I was just like, oh, this happened. It's on the news. Okay.
SH happened in 07?
I think it was 2014. He says it in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
See, oh, you're right. No, 2013. You're right.
It was 2012.
Oh, 2012. We were close.
It was December 14th, 2012.
This is exactly why we have these people on the show, is because they actually know halfway what they're talking about and we don't.
And
I know the general story and I could tell you it, but I don't know any details.
He did reference Columbine. That was 1999, I think.
He's got some details on us, though.
I think that was 96.
It was April 20th, 1999.
It was somewhere in between
God
all the false flags.
I'm 0 for 2.
The Oklahoma City bombing and what else? Oh, what was the guy that killed his wife?
94.
Oh, what was 94?
OJ.
That was 94?
OJ?
Yeah, I
meant the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It was all, I just remember that being a blur of my childhood, is all these crazy things happening, and I just thought that's how the world was. I mean, it kind
of
is.
You know what's funny is, I talk about blur of childhood is I remember the Oklahoma City bombing being on TV back when we had back when mom and dad had the 17 inch, like the smaller boob tube before they got the 19 inch.
That was an upgrade from the 13 inch black and white that we watched Rescue 911 on, though. So
I wasn't around for that one. I wasn't around for that one.
You were around.
No, it was after we moved in.
Old enough.
Okay, well, it was after we moved into Sunray, and they had the little, like 15-inch one or 17-inch one, whatever it was. And I remember watching the Oklahoma City bombing, and I'll never forget the side of the building with the flames coming out of it and them talking about having apprehended Timothy McVeigh. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I had never seen anything like that. And then I remember we were at North Valley when Columbine happened. And I remember, oh my God, they played on a loop. That whole guy with the guitar that played the Columbine song.
Columbine.
What?
Fuck you. So, Columbine, friend of mine.
Oh, that's what, so in the gross. Actual fuck? Look it up. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Dude, they had him play him. They had it. They had him playing it on like every major newsreel for like a week after it happened. So I remember gross. When Columbine happened because we had just got done, or the Bootingers had just got done moving from Denver, or not Denver. Is it Denver? That anyway, they just got done moving from Colorado, and they knew where the where that school was. And I remember talking to them about it, and they were like, "Well, we didn't know anybody from the high school, but yeah, we knew where that high school was." I was like, "That's crazy! Like, I don't fucking like this. This had never happened up until this point in my life." And then 2 years later was 1911, and from there on, it just got so much worse all the time.
1911? You're talking about guns?
9/11.
Nine.
You said 1911. Earlier in the podcast, what were you talking about? Was that something different?
That's a gun.
I didn't. Oh. Yeah, that's a gun. That's not what I was talking about. I meant 9/11.
We've already been going for a long time now. We'll let you go back to your show. We got shit to do too. We got to go to work tomorrow.
Anyway,
so.
Yeah, we can edit.
So,
all right,
and enjoy the chat, and we'll see you next time.
All right, see ya.
All right. So did you have, you had notes, you said you had some stuff you want to talk about gun control and what we'll call the SH shooting, because apparently people get kicked off for that kind of shit. So.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I basically watched a few documentaries. I mean, it's so hard right now to find any information on the shooting that you're referring to. It's crazy. They took all this stuff off of YouTube. They took a lot of this guy, his name was Wolfgang Halbig, like he was always like on the Alex Jones show. They took a lot of his interviews off of YouTube. I really couldn't find that much, but then I started digging and basically what you have to do is just like search to find these good documentaries and good information on the shooting you're referring to. Just a lot of crazy information. So basically, what I feel happened, what I feel what they did is they basically did like a Sandy, like a hook, a line and a sinker with us, you know. They played with our emotions. They used children and teachers to get us hooked with hopes, you know. They automatically be there for gun control agenda and just to test like our emergency response. So basically,
you're talking
what the
about
actual narrative.
You're talking about that emotional hook into the story so that you stand
behind
whatever their platform is.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever their agenda was, you know, I think they just hooked us, you know, they basically just used the children and the teachers, you know, and grabbed us with our emotions, you know, and the media basically just took it and ran with it, you know, and really, really like sold this to us and got a lot of us in a deep, deep response for this, you know? Basically, what the media was saying is that Adam Lanza, he went into, you know, first of all, he ended up killing his mother, shooting her several times. He was only like a 6 foot, 120 pound kid with Asperger's, and he ended up. So basically, what they did is, hold on, I'm sorry, let me get these notes together here. So basically, he killed his mother. And on a side note, basically a licensed nurse said on national television that she was actually a wonderful teacher and she worked for Sandy Hook. But then they found out that she actually didn't. So they had to redact that story. So they tried to kind of create a motive that she was spending too much time away from Adam and that she was basically working at the school. And maybe that's why he ended up going in there and shooting him. They redacted the whole story and swept it under the rug. He basically said that he shot her several times and then he drove basically by like eight different elementary schools and he ends up going to Sandy Hook. And then he basically parks and it's crazy. He parked legally. So he like legally parked. They say he got out of the car, opened up all four doors. And the media says that he shot out the window and that's how he entered the school. And basically in the police report, there's nothing that says that he actually shot out the window and went through the window. But they say basically shot out the window, walked into the school, and with 7 magazines, 2 handguns, and an AR-15. And just a side note, a police officer who was standing in room 10 where Adam Lanza's body was, said that he had multiple weapons, like 2 handguns, a rifle, and a shotgun. But then it was reported to the media that the shotgun was left in the trunk. So that's just a little side note. And they basically said Adam Lanza, the 120-pound, 6-foot kid, goes in, and in 8 minutes, he uses his Bushmaster AR-15 and shot 20 kids and 6 adults. And he shot about 153 rounds off. And the medical examiner says that the people were shot 3 to 11 times, and that in one of the classrooms, he stacked like 15 of them in the bathroom. I don't know if they all piled on there, but they said that they're piled on top of each other. And one of the kids actually was alive in the pile, which was pretty crazy. All that information is a lot of drama building up, just saying that this guy, Adam Lanza, is just a crazy nut. How did he get a hold of this weapon? You know, it's just a lot of drama, I feel like, they were building.
Well, it's always weird to me that they come back to how did he get a hold of this weapon instead of what was his mental health like? Because a lot of the time, like most, I can't remember if it was most or all of these kind of events have somebody who's on SSRIs or antidepressants, that kind of stuff. And it's almost always that. And they don't focus on that. They go, how did he get this weapon? I don't know. It's easy to get a weapon.
Well,
and there's their point for gun control. So.
I was going to ask you, Josh, you're in California, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we're all California natives. Are you as well? Okay.
Yes.
So basically nowhere else in the country is nearly as difficult to get a gun. So being raised in California, I always wondered that too. I'm like, how did they get a gun? Because I know for a fact in California, it's not that freaking easy to get a gun. Well, live in Florida for 2 years where they basically don't have laws. Mm-hmm. You can, as long as you have a Florida ID, we actually learned this only living here for 2 years. My wife could have walked in because she had a military ID. So what they call temporary permanent orders, where it's permanent because that's where you're at, right? So she could have walked into a gun store and said, I want that gun. And they would have said, do you have cash? Yes. Pay for it in cash. It is actually a felony in Florida to create a registry of either a gun or gun owner upon the FFL. So if she walked in there, it's actually illegal for them to create the registry that she is who she is and buying that gun. So it's not all that difficult to get a gun. If you have a CCW in Florida, you can walk in with cash, say, I want that gun in my butt crack when I walk out, and they'll hand it to you and you can walk out of there. Just like a car with different kind of packages.
Yes, California. I mean, that's how the Second Amendment was supposed to be, you know, for us. Basically, like it's not like the hunting. It's not like so much about the hunting. Like back then, that's what they had to do to eat. You know, it was more so that we're armed, and just in case we have a tyrannical government, you know. And I live in California, and right now, obviously, you could tell. I don't know if you guys see the news, but we have a very tyrannical governor right now that's pushing all this COVID-19 laws and all this. So the first thing I did when COVID-19 happened was I went and purchased another weapon, something easier for my wife to use. It was a Ruger PC carbine, and it's really easy for her to use. But I'm a military member. I served in the military. I had no problems on any of the ranges, had no negligent discharges, anything. It took me 4 months for me to get that weapon, which is crazy because of the background checks. Somebody at my house that I purchased before had some illegal firearms before. So they saw my address and they said that there was a red flag because of the address I lived at. But being a former military member, it took me 4 months in California for me to actually get my weapon, finally be able to pick it up.
I'll tell you this right now. Being a former military member in California actually usually means a longer litigation period because of the fact that they're going to immediately make sure that you are not in the TRICARE system for mental health issues as a result of your tour of duty. We found this out me and my brother-in-law and one of our friends all went through CCW class at the same time. And only one of us, our friend Kevin, he was a veteran of the Army. And as a result of his career, the person that was doing the interview was like, hey, I have to ask this of you. Did you have any issues coming out of the military? Have you seen, you know, a psychologist? Have you seen a therapist? Blah, 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 blah. And he was like, no. And they're like, okay, because we're going to check, because that's actually one of our things now in California is that we actually check service members in particular for any kind of former mental health issues as a result of their service, because they're all worried about like post-Vietnam veterans with flashbacks. Yeah. And that's where all of these things start
PTSD.
Yes, exactly.
PTSD. Or like if they had like any type of issues with their wives, like if they had like, let's say they came back and they got in an argument with their wife that probably maybe cheated on them on deployment, and they yell at them and get crazy, the police come and they have that on the record. They won't allow you to have a weapon either, because they say in California, because they say you had a domestic dispute. So you can imagine how many military members that they easily give you a firearm over there, have you go to combat, do everything you can do for the country and protect the country, but they won't let you have a weapon to protect your own home. Which
right. I bet that's because they're actually crazy. They're way more scared about a militia started by ex-military, because they actually know what you're doing. So you're the last person coming back as a civilian that they want to have. They want you to have access to a gun because you would actually know what to do with it.
Oh yeah, they're gonna limit the people that know how they work way more than the people that they think don't know how it works. Absolutely.
Yes.
You get some baby-faced 18-year-old to go over there, and all of a sudden come back 9 months to 15 months later, a badass with some problems. Yeah, they don't want to meet them on their own streets at all.
No, definitely not. And they try to, like with the COVID-19, I don't mean to switch subjects, but with the COVID-19, what they did is they try to keep us locked down. So I was thinking they were going to keep us locked down, like really locked down. So it's going to be way too hard to even militia up, because you're stuck in your own home trying to protect your own family. It's going to be hard to militia up when they start pushing all these rules and regulations. But
well, that's funny, because where we are, we actually have a local militia that they call themselves. And when Antifa was going around doing all their awesome, you know, peaceful protests, that our militia came up and actually like armed to the teeth, standing in the middle of like where the bus said they were going to stop, just walking around. They were peaceful. Antifa rolls up and was like, oh, nope. And kept rolling. They never stopped.
Yeah, Joe, did you see the story that Antifa started putting out on their websites and their forums and their sub forums, their oh so secretive sub forums, that they were thinking about disrupting Sturgis? Dude, every person
I did hear that.
That I saw that reacted to that was like, oh my God, please let them, and please get as many camera crews as you can.
Make sure you show their vagina hats as they're getting shot.
Yeah, that's an Antifa pinata party right there.
And they were trying to push that. That basically, at first, they said there wasn't many cases coming out of Sturgis, and then they try to push this narrative like all these people caught all this COVID-19 from Sturgis.
Oh, yeah.
And it's right now it's like the New World Order basically just took out the chess piece, you know, the chessboard, dusted off the pieces, and now just making moves on us right now, left and right, man. It's pretty interesting.
What's crazy to me is how you only hear about the people that actually buy it. You don't hear, you like on the mainstream media, like obviously you can get online, you can see people that are standing up against it. You probably saw the video from where me and Joe and Jenner are from, up in Shasta County, the guy that stood up in the council meeting, he ended up going viral, and he basically told me, he's like, yeah, I'd wear a freaking mask if I were you too. I would want to hide my face as well. And he kind of went off, ended up being this viral video of him standing up as a former military member that was like, you have to understand, he's like, I fought for this country and I'll fight for it again. And that means I'll have to do it in my own streets, which I really, really don't want to do. Yeah. But understand that I absolutely will. And when all of us that have done that in the past have to do it on our own soil, that is the last thing that you want. And
when the people that just want to be left alone are finally riled enough to the point of taking up arms, that's the day that they're dreading.
Yes. And the last thing they want, because I'm actually a Christian, I'm a Christian rapper and I'm a Christian. The last thing they want is 330 million Christian people that are strong physically, biblically, spiritually, that are Bible, you know, Bible thumping Jesus followers, ready to go with guns. They don't want that. They want to teach us this narrative that came from monkeys, and you know that we're all just all equal with animals. They don't want people that be, you know, Bible toting Christians ready
to go.
So if
you're a veteran and a Christian, man, you ain't afraid to die twice.
Yeah. No, I'm good. Hey, I'm good, bro.
He's sprouting eagle feathers as we speak.
So yeah, I think it's pretty crazy, man.
I did have something to go off
back
of
to the...
what you had said, Josh, about the Sandy Hook thing, taking it off of YouTube.
Sandy Hook.
Uh-huh.
Oh, right. Sorry. Handy Sook.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm sure that you know who Ben Shapiro is. I'm a big supporter of Ben Shapiro. Yeah. And what is it? Youth of America, I think, is what their foundation is, that they do a lot of the university speaks and whatnot. So you can look it up on YouTube. Ben Shapiro and Piers Morgan. Now, this was 7 years ago, right after it happened. Wow. I don't know if you can see that on there.
Yes.
Okay, so it's actually posted by CNN. So that's probably why it's on YouTube to begin with. But uh-huh. It's Piers accused of, quote, standing on the graves of Sandy Hook children. When you said that they used the teachers and the students as an, you know, as a emotional platform to garner what they were trying to hook people on in their agenda.
Uh-huh.
Ben Shapiro actually said it live in that interview, was that he said, "You have stood on the graves of victims for your agenda for gun control." And of course, Piers Morgan, being the British twaffle that he is, was like, "Oh, how dare you?" And Ben was like, he's like, "I've seen you do it multiple times, Piers." He goes, "You quote all of these kids that have died in this as a reason for why we need more gun control. And then you immediately point it back at Britain as the poster child for how gun control works." He's like, "You guys have more deaths in violent related causes per capita than we do in America. So stop it with the whole guns being the issue."
And you're the size of California.
And CNN, CNN is the really liberal, you know, and they right. care when the 20 kids die, but they don't care when 800,000 people get aborted, 800,000, you know, babies get aborted a year. They don't care about those kids, but they care about. You know, when 20 kids die, they made it all huge and crazy, but they have people run to legislation, start changing laws. But when there's 800,000 kids that are aborted a year, babies that are aborted a year, they don't say anything. So
I heard
all of a sudden an
interesting line the other day that said, "Only in America is bacteria on Mars life, but not a beating heart."
Okay, so basically that's Tom McDonald. I said it on the other podcast. He says, "How is a bacteria life on Mars?" Yes. How is
I love Tom McDonald.
Yeah. How is a bacteria life on Mars, but a beating heart is not life on Earth? What a sick, deep line that he spit right there. It was awesome. Very awesome. Good line right there.
All right. So go ahead and move on to your next point. If you have another one in line with this.
I was basically just trying to go over the narrative that they were trying to tell us. You know, he had 7 magazines, he had 2 handguns, AR-15, and in 8 minutes, you know, he ended up killing 20 kids and 6 adults. He shot like 153 rounds off. There was people were shot 3 to 11 times. And then, like I said, there was 15 of them in the bathroom piled on top of each other, and one of the kids lived. And on a side note, basically, I saw an interview with one of the teachers, and this was like 2 days after the shooting. And she said that a day after this, she said that, I quote, "She was in the classroom and I took my students into the bathroom and all 15 students were in the bathroom, and that it was only 3 feet by 2 feet, which is not big enough for 15 kids. So it didn't sound right." And she said that she had some kids on the toilet. People were stacked together. And that the bathroom thing is kind of the same thing that it seems like happened when there was, you know, when Adam Lanza went in and he killed the 15 of the people. I guess maybe they all piled in the bathroom. He shot the door open, maybe started shooting all the kids. But according to her, it's only 3 feet by 2 feet. So 15 students, really, I don't even think 15 students would even fit on a 3 feet by 2 feet bathroom. So it sounded kind of fishy. So basically, while the shooting was going on, there was a secretary and a nurse. I guess the secretary was the first 911 call. And there was an interview between the school nurse. And she said Adam Lanza walked into her office. She ducked down. She could see the shooter's feet. So you could tell that they're kind of just building more drama. And then he left the room, basically just adding more drama to the story. And then they said the nurse and the secretary hid inside the closet for 4 hours. And the police said that they cleared the building at like 11:30. But obviously they didn't clear the room that those women were in, because they didn't get out of there till, because 4 hours later would have been at 1:15. So basically, the police were saying they cleared the whole building, but they didn't clear that building where the secretary or the stock room that the secretaries were at. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing right there.
Do you think that it happened and that they used it for the gun control agenda, or do you think they made it all up for the gun control agenda?
I'm a Christian, so it's like if they actually did pass away there, that's going to be really offensive for me to say that it didn't happen. All I know is that I think that there's a lot of stuff, like the actual narrative that the media tried to tell us, I don't believe happened. I think with all the stuff that I've been studying, and I want to just say it on the record, I think that there was stuff that is definitely conflicting. Like there was 600 kids that were supposed to have come out of the building, and I never saw any footage of 600 kids coming out of the building because there was other 600 other kids. There was 60 teachers also. I don't know where they went, because I would think that they'd want to interview some of those people. I only saw a few interviews with some of the kids, like the survivors. And so I think maybe, in my expert opinion, with everything I've studied, that it might have been a drill gone live, like a drill, you know? They had a drill in 2007. The Lieutenant Vance, which is the Connecticut State Police, they had a drill that they conducted where they, I think it was like in 2007. So it was kind of the same thing. They had two active shooters. They went in, and I think that this was a drill gone live. And basically, it was like people were on a need to know basis. It sounds crazy, but it's just, that's kind of what I'm following by just studying and going through all this stuff, you know?
Most of this stuff does sound crazy, and that's why we sound crazy when we talk about it. But we talked about it maybe even on the last one about how the devil's in the details with all this stuff. And it's the same idea as the 9/11 thing. Like, I think it happened, but it definitely did not happen the way that it was portrayed to us. There are so many missing pieces in that one that should be... Yeah. The biggest red pill for literally the whole world. Everybody should be looking at 9/11 as the basis of why we shouldn't trust what the fuck we're being told.
Yeah, 9/11 was huge. I mean, that's crazy because, like, our brothers, you know, like in the military, people died for that. You know, here's a side note too. George Bush, he was the one that pushed us into war, him and Dick Cheney. But the Wounded Warriors Foundation asked him to do a speech for them. And he charged them $100,000 to do the speech to talk to the soldiers that were wounded from, you know, in the war that he pushed us into doing. So that side note, another thing that's pretty crazy about our ex-president,
I assume that you know who Matt Best from Black Rifle Coffee is, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a huge fan of him. I bought his book like the week it came out, and I was reading through it and everything. And part of what he said was he went down to watch his older brother graduate Marine boot camp, and they got it called off because the morning that his brother graduated was 1911, and they had a base lockdown right after it happened. So 2 years later, him, his brothers, and everybody else, they're like, well, we want to go kill the bad guys, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody after 1911, that was like the last time that I remember after coming out of the Clinton era and into the Bush era, I remember seeing with the technology age, you actually had all of this availability to watch the country come together. Everybody was praying. Everybody was hugging each other. Flags were everywhere. Yeah. People were patriotic. Everybody wanted to get revenge. Even us in California, where it was on the other side of the United States, like a whole other world away, we were still like, let's go get those guys. So it's patriotic. Crazy that happened with Bush, that he would do that. Cause that's awful. That's absolutely awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's just how they work, you know. There were patriotic people that during that time, and there was also more people going to church, you know, and relying on God. So that was actually a positive that did come out of that huge negative, you know, definitely. So let's see where we're at on here.
So the meeting's gonna end. The meeting's gonna end in 10 minutes. I'm just letting you know. I just got a notification. Got so at like around 6 o'clock, we'll just have to stop and then restart. Sorry.
Okay. You still got some time, Josh.
I didn't want you to get in the middle of something real good and then have to stop.
Okay, cool. So I'll give you a a 5-minute warning then, and we can just pick up where we left off. We can take a 5-minute break or something too, whatever.
Okay, I don't have to watch in the office. Yeah. So, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about that? I don't want to even say it. What do you guys think happened? I don't know where you guys stand on it.
Baby, I heard a lot of cool theories about the guy Adam Lanza being like a Manchurian candidate, like getting activated and like being kind of like hypnotized and going in and doing that, but for the agenda of the military or the government for gun control, so they could kind of use him. But I don't know. It's just a cool thing I heard. But yeah, I think our government, government takes anything though and uses it for their advantage. Just like this COVID thing, it's kind of a bullshit. It's like a cold, a different version. And they're like, ooh, what can we do with this? Let's make it a really big deal so that
never
we can
let
accomplish
a good crisis go to waste.
To accomplish. And that could have been the same
thing. Yes. Yeah, I just, and what do you think about it?
Are you talking to me or Ben?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
Okay. I think people probably died there, which really sucks, especially since it was kids, like you said, the heartstring hook, the hook. But I think the last legitimate school shooting was probably Columbine. That one was, I haven't delved into that one, but it was still kind of in the mid-90s where it's not that you could believe what you were told, but there was a lot more footage and stuff available. All the other ones since then seem really trumped up, like the Parkland shooting, SH, all these other ones. So whether they actually happened or not, I don't really, besides people dying, I don't think it really matters. I just think they use it for what they want to use it for, regardless of what actually happened.
Well, like,
and you want to take it?
Basically, like, yeah, I think the Columbine one actually was actually, they had video footage, and that was in the 90s, and they had video footage of everything going on. Let me see.
Yeah, how odd is that?
There we go. So they had video footage of it, I think, and then they also had, like, the police were actually shooting back into the building. There was actually fires. It was like, and they demolished, they ended up rebuilding that high school, you know, after that happened. But and there's actually a motive in this one. You know, there's a motive. It's like people were picking on these kids, and these kids actually had, like, you see stuff online of them posting stuff, them mad at the people that are picking on them, they're bullying them. They have a hit list. They kill the 13 people, and then they kill themselves, and then it's over. This guy, Adam Lanza, had no motive. He's more ballsy than, like, the Mexican mafia or the Italian mafia, because there's a code that they use where they don't go and kill children. This guy, Adam Lanza, goes in and smokes kids, 20 kids, like it's nothing, bro. And that's it's just like, you got to have a motive. Whenever
well, that's where you
got to
think.
You got to find a motive.
Something like the Manchurian candidate kind of makes sense, where he's kind of MK Ultra into doing,
well, especially,
you know,
if they're saying he has Asperger's. I worked with kids with autism for 2 years. They don't do that. I'm sorry. Everyone's different. But like, I've never met a kid with Asperger's who's an unkind person. They're really interested in like dinosaurs and like nerdy shit. Like they're not trying to go kill a bunch of people. Or if they were into guns, they'd be super into the gun and they'd know every single thing about the gun, how it works, every part, every piece, and break it down. But they wouldn't be interested in ending lives with it. They don't have emotional, I don't want to say they don't have emotions, but they don't think like that. They're not like, oh, I'm going to go hurt a bunch of people's feelings. They don't even process it that way. That's not how their brain works.
I actually completely agree with that, because I'm not not on the spectrum. But when it comes to guns, that's what I find enjoyable is I'm not into hunting, even though Joe and I were raised by somebody who went hunting almost every year. For me, I absolutely love guns because I love the idea. Oh, by the way, 5-minute warning. I love the idea of ballistics. I love the idea of how they work, how the bullets are, what they do, how far I can shoot, and all of that stuff. So I love going to the range. I love having my guns. But for me, it's not about anything other than the fact that they're really cool pieces of machinery, the way that some people view cars. So it doesn't make me want to sit there and be like, oh, what would it be like if this suddenly killed someone? Or a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I don't
You got to be mentally ill. And that's the problem, is that they're not checking mental illness before you drive a car. You should see some of the people that are allowed to drive a car.
I mean, he also must have had something else besides Asperger's, because it's not mental illness. Like, it's not a mental illness.
Right.
It's just a condition.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make you not fit to have a gun. It just, and if he had depression, he could have had other things, I guess. But Asperger's, I wouldn't say would qualify him to say, oh, he shouldn't have had a gun then. Well, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, they said basically later on they said that because they said that the hard drive was crushed and they said later on that they actually got some information off of it and they built a narrative for a motive. Like they said they had a spreadsheet full of a bunch of mass murderers, that he had pedophilia on there and that he had like a suicide note that he wrote. So they kind of try to build something like, hey, this kid has been he's crazy the whole time. But the thing is, when you start having like pedophilia stuff on your computer, the FBI, like, they're going to see that, you know, they're going to see stuff like that. Like when you start like Googling stuff, they're going to start being a little bit onto you, you know, if you're, and the spreadsheet, I mean, I guess, I don't know what that was about, but I think they're just trying to build like a motive. There was some other weird stuff. Okay. So basically first I want to talk about the chief medical examiner, Dr. Wayne Carver. So basically a year before Sandy Hook happened, he passed a bill that all pediatric autopsy reports would be unavailable to the public and death certificates. So the medic, and he was so adamant about getting this bill passed, he said that he would resign if they don't pass it. So basically a year before Sandy Hook, he had those bills passed. And also a separate bill that information on child homicides will be unavailable to the public. So when people are trying to get, you know, basically gain information on what was going on with the autopsies, the death certificates, everything was made unavailable and the bill passed.
So this was Dr. Fauci?
No, Dr. Wayne Carver. Oh, Dr. Fauci. That's funny. Dr. Wayne Carver. So basically, he had a deposition that I found on YouTube. It was cool. On 5/21/2019, basically, he was saying that he said the health department and he said that the Army helped him build, like, and his autopsy crew helped him build, like, a portable autopsy building. And all the autopsies that happened on Sandy Hook were actually performed on site at Sandy Hook. That really sounds super fishy to me that happened. This is a deposition where he's actually under oath. So he said, I don't know why he said the Army. This guy is weird anyways. I don't know if you guys have ever seen him. He giggles and laughs whenever he mentions kids dying and all this stuff. But he says that the Army and the health department helped him build this little key, like this little, what is it? Like maybe like a tent or something. And then he did all the autopsies on site with his staff. And they were there till like 10:30 at night. And what he said is he had a photographer take pictures of all the kids and that all the parents were okay with identifying the bodies with just a picture. And I have kids, bro. I would never, ever be okay with that happening. But he said that the parents were okay with him just taking a picture of the kids and they were okay with just seeing the picture and identifying the body that way. And his excuse, this is under oath, was that he didn't want to bring them back to the gruesome scene. And also, he didn't want them to have to drive an hour to go to his office to identify the bodies. So, under oath,
you wouldn't want to go out of your way to identify your own child.
That to me is super fishy. And he said that he did 7 autopsies, and the victims, the kids, had 3 to 11 gunshot wounds in each kid. So that's pretty excessive. You know, the gunman would shoot that many times. Into a baby, you know, or into a kid. There's also a couple of discrepancies I kind of wanted to get into. I got these from Wolfgang Halbig, which is a big conspiracy theorist on this. He said that there was no trauma helicopters that even got sent off the ground, period. And he actually verified that by calling the company that would have the helicopters go off the ground. So no trauma helicopters. The children that they took to Danbury Hospital actually went from, instead of going to a paramedic, which should have been pulled up right in front of the school, they got put into a police car and taken to the firehouse, and then they got taken to the hospital that way. So that just sounds really fishy to me. That's why when you talk about Columbine, you see all the paramedics pull up, and anybody that was injured, they got put into the vehicle. There's actually footage of that because the news was there filming, but we don't see any kids, any dead bodies being taken out of the building. We don't see any bodies at all. All we see is one injured person that they actually had go into a ambulance that they actually showed on the news. That's all they showed. We didn't see any of the kids that were injured that they talked about. And also, there was no paramedics allowed in the building. Only police officers and law enforcement allowed in the building. So no paramedics actually entered. None of them got to go in there trying to perform CPR on the kids. I thought that was crazy. And then who declared the kids legally dead that day? Usually, you'd have to take there's people that have been dead for 20 minutes and they still take them to the hospital and then they basically perform CPR, and then the doctors would say that they're legally dead. None of the kids were taken out of there. Only three of them actually, they said, that actually got worked on at a hospital, but no, I don't know who declared them dead that day. And a couple other things, like a side note, the school was filthy, full of mold, mildew on the doors. That was what was reported through a newspaper. There was asbestos in the building, high levels of lead in the paint. There was no handicap ramp, which doesn't sound like a school, you know, like the school would be able to be open if they don't have that. And basically what they did is whenever something like this happens, I always say to follow the money, right? Like when you talk about 9/11, you got $2.1 trillion that disappeared the day before, mm-hmm. and then they blew up the building that's holding all that information mm-hmm. in it. You follow the money. So look at this. There's millions and millions of dollars that got sent to Sandy Hook, okay? I'm just going to name off a few. So the charity raised $27 million for the survivors and the parents of Sandy Hook. The state of Connecticut got $50 million to tear down and rebuild the Sandy Hook School. General Electric donated $15 million to the parents of Sandy Hook, $7.1 million in federal grants. The law enforcement officers got $2.5 million and also $7.1 million, you know, for the first responders and law enforcement, all got donated to them. There's $1.5 million from the Department of Education. I could keep going on and on. And all the parents, what they did is when, you know, they basically started pushing for gun control. Like, I mean, they were pushing hard in the paint. And some of them, like most of them actually started like a Sandy Hook fund. Like there was Emily Parker's parents started a safeandsound.org. 32 million students have been helped by this, which is cool. But there's Jesse Lewis kid fund, 2 million people from 95 countries donated to this, which is crazy money. The SandyHookPromise.org, 5 million people donated money to this foundation. I could keep going on and on, but there's so much money that was donated to these people. And if you're running a nonprofit organization, all you have to do is just run it, and it's nonprofit, but your salary is going to be huge from that. You can make your salary whatever you want. You can make $1 million a year if you want, as you have enough money coming in. So as you can tell, a lot of money was sent to them and distributed to the parents and to me, it was really pretty mind-boggling.
That seems to happen a lot with major events, too. I hate to bring it up, but the George Floyd thing, they started a GoFundMe for that, and they got millions of dollars. Not saying they shouldn't get millions of dollars, but it is interesting how these things trigger people to open their checkbooks and just, you know, send complete strangers tons of money.
But the messed up part to me is that these things happen every day. It just ends up being the ones they donate to are the ones that we end up hearing about because those are the ones they want us to hear about.
That's why it's suspicious, yeah.
Yeah, that's why it seems like it was created. What was the motive? I mean, what was that school involved in something? Like, what would be the motive to create this to happen?
It almost sounds like a good way to get rid of a bunch of kids for some trafficking. I mean,
it sounds like it was created by some people. It just does.
Okay, so some higher up, like, it would definitely be higher ups, but... There were some huge bills that got passed. And the motives, I'm going to tell you guys, biblically, you guys got to think, you know, we're starting to get into the end times, you know, where basically, you know, the Antichrist will be coming, Jesus' return, the mark of the beast, as you see with like the vaccines and all the stuff that Bill Gates is coming with, these computer chips they're going to put in your hand.
As referenced in your song.
So for them to actually put the mark of the beast through, they're going to have to get the weapons. If not, you're going to have people lined up. Shooting, we're going to have people militiaing up. So I think that it's basically they're just one step at a time, slowly taking weapons. Like there's three states like New York, Massachusetts, and Connecticut where they have no weapons. You're not allowed to have any weapons. They got banned from everything. So basically they're going to slowly try to do that. California, they haven't done it yet. But here's the thing. When you go against the military, we have fully automatic weapons. We have 249 Bravo. We got all these different weapons, 50 cals. How are we going to go against them with a semi-automatic with 10 rounds? And in California, you have to open the weapon up to even unload the clip and then put the clip in. We're going to get demolished. So all they're doing is just slowly making it so that we're not equal to the military when they push the beast. This is what I'm thinking. I'm not saying it's fact. When they push the mark of the beast on us and when people start trying to militia up, we don't have the correct weaponry to even go against the military or whoever would be coming against us. Because I would think the government has to be the ones pushing the mark of the beast when it happens. The one government... you know, the one world currency, as you see, is already happening. They're getting into the digital dollar now, trying to make it so that the dollar just goes downhill now. And they say we're in for a dark winter because of COVID. There's a lot of stuff happening, bro.
But I just it's all happening.
I'm worried about nothing. I just stay prayed up, and I'm always you just gotta read your Bible, man. That's what I tell everybody, man.
Well, it's funny because no matter what religion or if you're Christian or not, it doesn't really matter. I asked, do you know who Charlie Robinson is? We've had him on a couple times.
Charlie Robinson, no, I don't.
Awesome dude. You got to read his book too. But yeah, he's kind of agnostic, but I even asked him on the last time he was on. I was like, dude, what do you think about all this Mark of the Beast revelation type stuff? Because it's kind of happening. And he's like, I'm not a Christian, but Revelations makes a lot of sense right now. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. Go read that book. It'll freak you out a little bit.
Okay. So like, and you gotta see, like, there's only like Jesus's name is super powerful. As a rap artist, they have contracts that say that you cannot say Jesus in your raps. So you gotta know that Jesus's name is super powerful. They never say you can't say Muhammad, you can't say Buddha. You can't say anything, but you can't say Jesus. So basically, you can tell. And then also, like, on Joe Rogan podcast, his podcast is very intellectual, and he has some great points. But, like, I heard Eddie Bravo on there, and he was talking. He was saying that, you know, all these conspiracy theories, they end up going back to the Bible. And as soon as he mentioned that, you see Joe Rogan just go, oh, dude, you're not telling me you're reading the Bible. Not that stupid thing. Bear eating kids and all this. Like, they try to stay away from it, but like, we're trying to uncover, you know, stuff that is hidden. You know, the truth is in the Bible. You start reading the Bible and you see like that all these things that are actually happening, that are conspiracy theories, are backed up by demonic entities or by the devil, and it's all evil. And us as conspiracy theorists, we're trying to be evil and expose it. So what better way to do it than to read the Bible, get into your word, pray to God, and expose these evil. But don't do it in like a malicious way, you know. Like right now, the Sandy Hook thing, I'm not 100% sure that it was a drill. It's just the stuff that I'm studying. I feel like it could have been. I feel like I feel bad for. I didn't see the parents like you know, if you lost a kid, you're not going to be smiling like 3 days later, like in an interview saying, you know, just forgive the shooter. I'm glad that they did do that because that's good as a Christian. But I forgive the shooter. They weren't crying. I don't see tears. You got to see tears. It's an emotion that happens whenever like something bad happens. I didn't see any tears, real tears coming out of the parents' face. Like I didn't see real emotion. What they did is they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to handle our situation the way we want to handle it. Love, unity, you know? And if you think about unity and the way that they're pushing it, it's like they want the one world government. Everybody needs to be unified. And it's just crazy how they flipped it on us.
Or 3 days later, when you could see that footage, is because if you were capable of following the money far enough, assuming that it was a drill or something like that, who the hell knows whether or not some of those parents received a good compensation for the fact that their kid died. And but there are some crappy parents out there that would be like, I'm a millionaire now.
Duck it.
Yeah. Or here's another crazy theory to think about. They said that there was a lot of intelligence people that lived in Sandy Hook, a lot of intelligence officers, political figures that lived in Sandy Hook, and that Sandy Hook was a prestigious school. So if you think about it, all you got to do is just have the CIA members, intelligence, move to that city for like an undercover operation of the 26 parents, and then because some of those people barely just moved there, and then you can have them just go with the drill and say that it happened, and that they're just going to pay you off, and they all got money. That's why you see all this money getting donated. I mean, I find
it hard to believe that they call it a prestigious school with all of the different things wrong with it physically that you mentioned earlier. A prestigious school with mold, no ramp, and all of that. That doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, but who wrote that report, you know?
Fair.
Right.
Well, yeah. Oh, I was talking about like the newspaper that wrote about that?
Yeah, I mean.
That's why they said they had to demolish it. You know, obviously they said... Obviously, the kids died in there, so they want to take out the school and build a new one. But that's why they said they had to do it. And what happened was the guy Wolfgang Helbig, he actually tried to take him to court and get documents on when they did the school cleaning, what, you know, like basically janitor reports, any emails between janitor, because he knows that you have to have the school set up, you know, the month, you know, basically during the summer, and he couldn't get any of those reports. The Freedom of Information Act was what he was trying to use, and he couldn't get anything out of the school district, or even when he had a lawyer present, he couldn't get anything. He just got a few little things here and there. They couldn't explain, like, the field trip of the kids that went to the Super Bowl, where 26 of them sang. And I don't know where those kids went either. I don't know if you guys remember that, like, those 26 kids from Sandy Hook that were survivors that sang at the Super Bowl and never heard from them again. I don't know if you guys remember that.
No, I don't remember that one at all.
The next 2014, they had 26 kids sing at the Super Bowl. And instead of choir from Sandy Hook, they were survivors. They all sang, it was like a few days on, and I never heard from those kids ever again, you know? Never.
So that's, it was pretty so
interesting
weird
stuff, man.
Well, I have a big super problem weird with the Freedom of Information Act requests anyway, just because they're kind of bullshit. They charge you so much money to get these, what are supposed to be publicly accessible documents. Then after months of, you know, going through the ringer to get these things and probably thousands of dollars, you get these documents and the only word that isn't redacted is the, like, look, you see some of these FOIA requests and it's like, we have the documents and it's all black lines except for the, of, and it's like, okay, how is that freedom of information?
Come on. Anything is insane. Like,
good thing I paid 5,000 for that.
The higher ups want us to.
Yeah, and basically the thing that people don't understand is we as taxpayers, we pay law enforcement, we pay the government salary with our taxes. So what they did is they made it classified, the information with Sandy Hook, they made it classified. The police report came out, but the FBI stuff is all classified. So why are you going to classify a school shooting? Like Columbine, all the ones that I feel really did happen, they didn't classify those at all. So why did they classify Sandy Hook? You know, that there's just a lot of stuff that makes you like really think, like, why would it be like this? Like, why wouldn't you just give us a little information on certain things that we should have access to as taxpayers? You know, simple things that would explain it. I don't want to see like a crime scene photo of the kids. You know, I don't need to see that. But at least kind of like all the questions that we do have, at least release it to. They didn't release it to us. You know, it's been a long time.
One of the biggest things with this incident in particular is that was the one thing that got a certain Alex Jones canned off of literally every platform on the same day. How weird is that? The same day, the day he mentions that, and he's just poof, disappeared from the internet besides his own website.
And he got sued. He got sued for this, you know, for defamation of the character of the parents. So he did get sued, and then he had to go on an interview, and he was pushing that Sandy Hook was like a straight hoax and everything, and then he got sued, and then when they start messing with his money, he went on this interview saying that it was he just has an episode of psychosis, and all these conspiracy theorists have psychosis.
That's so
fucked
up.
This thing is a hoax. It is, and it was a guy that was like, he was really backing Wolfgang Helbig. I keep bringing his name up. He was backing this guy to the end. And then he just dropped him off the face of the earth and told him that we're all diagnosed with psychosis. And Alex Jones, I mean, I used to listen to him about 9/11. Like, I used to listen to him about a whole bunch of stuff and be like, man, this guy is like telling us all this stuff. I think he's just like a little Ponzi that feeds us the information the government wants us to, so that we have the media, the mainstream media. Then we got Alex Jones over here with his little conspiracy theories, and I think he's planted. You know, he's got $40 or $50 million deep right now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Once they started messing with his money, he pulled back the reins on the whole Sandy Hook thing. So that's, it's kind of like,
that's like the ultimate conspiracy theory, though, is thing that Alex Jones is controlled opposition. There's a lot of people that say Rogan is too now at this point. Like, maybe not in the beginning, but dude, I stopped listening to him when the COVID thing started because he had this doctor come on that was just vomiting all these talking points the media were talking about. I'm like, Rogan, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to have different views on this. Doctor was like, we expect 65 million dead, and all. And that's when I was like, oh my God, I can't listen anymore. Fuck, I love Rogan. I can't listen anymore.
Like the virus mutated to COVID-21, and there's going to be more deaths. And
Jesus Christ.
Like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I like Joe Rogan. To me, bro, he's it's great because he got like the UFC fighter, like John Lovman, that like manly, you know, like he's down with the military type of stuff. But
yeah.
then now that he's signed with Spotify, he's got like a whole agenda he has to fulfill to, you know, to push. And then he does a little bit of like pulling back anymore as much as he used to. And he's super scientific. He doesn't believe in God. And every time that anybody mentions Jesus or God on his podcast, he's like, oh, you mean him, you know? And he doesn't allow them to truly start speaking about the word or Jesus or anything really deep about Christianity. He always avoids it. So I used to listen to Joe Rogan a lot, and I'm into UFC, so I respect him. But at the same time, I see exactly what you're talking about, how he does that. He kind of goes with the mainstream media narrative.
And he tried to curb
out.
He tried to curb that too, because as soon as he told everybody that he signed that deal, he made promises all over to everybody that wasn't going to be what happened. And everybody called BS. We're like, yeah, for a truckload of money, you're not going to change your program even a little bit. I'm not going to do that.
$100 million is a fucking lot of money.
You got to think about this. Think about this, dude. Okay, Dana White, he owns the UFC, right? I'm not owns it. I'm sorry. He was with the UFC for 25 years. And when they sold the UFC, he made like $130 million. And people were like, wow, I can't believe you made that money, Dana White. He stuck with the UFC all the way for like 26 years. Joe Rogan comes along with his podcast pro and makes $100 million, bro. I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, he's a genius for doing it. But you got to think, Dana White must have been like, man, how did you do that? Like, it took him 10 years to make $100 million, bro.
Yeah.
He's all, you're just that's the pothead commentator. Look at you.
Dana White's like, I haven't fucking smoked weed in 30 years, and you smoke weed every day, and you make that? What the fuck?
Yeah.
It sucks to hear that he's not open-minded, though. He used to be open-minded. He'd have random people come on, and
even
if he didn't believe in it, even if he chooses not to believe in God or whatever, he would never say, yeah. I listened to Joe Rogan way back in the day, and he was never like that. He would listen to like flat earth theory and like, or anything about religion or aliens or anything. And he would be like, that's interesting. And he'd listen. And so to hear that he's like pushing back on religion is pretty sad.
Well, I mean, he had on Ben Shapiro twice, and two of the episodes that he had on Ben Shapiro, he made sure to make the point, and this is before he signed with Spotify, because that was, I think the last episode he did was 2 years ago, but he would always start it out with saying, Ben, you are probably one of the most misunderstood friends that I have just because of the side that you come from. And he would always listen to anything that Shapiro had to say, any of the things that sounded like, you know, the right kind of nutty things that the media always tells us is the alt-right nutty parts. And he was always open-minded to it. He didn't give a crap about what you said on his show, because he was always like, even if he didn't think it, he was always like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, I've never thought about that before.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree. Yeah. It's just listening.
Yeah, and to be fair, I will always love Joe Rogan as a comedian. I will watch his shit over and over again.
Oh, no, one I of love my Joe favorites. Rogan. But
the whole thing that's going on right now with his show, you can't get, in my conspiracy mind, you can't get that big and have that big of a reach and still be on the air and not be compromised.
There's something in that contract.
Puppet, bro. You got to be a puppet.
He signed some Faustian
deal. Yeah, you got to be a puppet. You know, like once you start getting that kind of money, somebody is going to be like controlling the strings, and you're going to be a puppet in some way, you know. And I'm not going to, I don't want to, you know, put him down or anything. I mean, more power to him, you know. But I just noticed like when people say like God on there, he means you mean the universe, you know, like stuff like that. I just things like that. But I used to listen to him, but yeah, I haven't really listened to him lately. Once in a while, I turn it on when I hear him, like with the military guy, like the Black Coffee guy. I listened to that episode.
Oh yeah.
And
or Colleen Noir.
I totally understand, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't listened. Literally, the last one I listened to was I think in March when he had that doctor on, and I was like, dude, you should be the last one that's scared about that. What are you doing?
He's still awesome, but yeah, I mean, he probably was like, okay, you have to have this guy on just once in a
while.
That
was even before Spotify.
But
that's what makes me think he was compromised a while ago, but we'll stop bashing Rogan. Yeah. He's a cool guy.
No, I'm not bashing Rogan at all. I love Rogan.
I was.
I'm just saying he used to be so open-minded when I listened. So what you guys are saying, it's sad to hear that he's not open-minded about certain things.
So we're coming up on an hour and a half, and I know you told me an hour to an hour and a half. So we will wrap you up, let you get back to your family. You're sitting in your car also, so that fucking sucks. So. But thank you so much for coming on. And if you want to come back on again, let me know and we'll set something
up.
This is fun. You know way more than I do. So.
I don't know more than you. Definitely not. All I know is all you got to do is send me like a subject. Give me like about 4 or 5 days to kind of study it. And I'll come with whatever I come with, bro. And I'm definitely checking out your guys' podcast. I'm gonna share your guys' podcast with my friends.
Awesome.
Anybody
that's listening out there to the podcast, show love, man. It's hard to start a podcast or to do music, and it's hard to get out there and just start doing it. It looks like you guys have your foot in the door, and you guys are doing good things. So definitely show this guy some love, guys. Follow, leave a review on the Apple iPod or something like that. Apple Podcast. Show some love, give them 5-star reviews, and leave some reviews, guys.
All right, man. Josh, how can people reach you?
My Instagram is at Josh Monday Music. My YouTube is at Josh Monday Music, and I also have like a topic page that's if you go to YouTube and just search Josh Monday, you'll see a lot of my music. I got about 7 or 8 songs up, and one of them is Signs of Things to Come. It's one that actually connected us to each other, which I've been connected to a lot of the conspiracy theorists have been like sending me messages like, hey, I love that song.
Song. It's a badass song.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And God is great. You know, I pray to God before I write anything. So he gave me that, I think, because of the times that we're in. And he gave me another artist. His name is B-T-E. It's like Brandon T is his name. He's also on the song. And God bless us with the great song. I think we got like 18,000 Spotify hits, which is cool.
Holy shit.
And wow. So God is doing really moving, you know, moving with us. So
that's awesome. And we're going to actually play the song as the outro music so that everybody gets a little taste of it. So,
all right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your express written consent on that, too. I got to say that on the record.
Oh, you guys have it. Yeah, you definitely have a consent to do anything with that song. It's all good.
Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for your service once again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Thank you, guys. Please send me a DM if you want me back on, okay, guys?
You got it.
Will do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
God bless you guys. All right. They're saying it's a deep state ploy. Lisa be the peace, saying you was just a toy. COVID-19, go and grab a mask of joy. What if I relay that and maybe something more? Book a revelations like you ain't sure if you're in good relations with the one on high the Lord. I got an urgent message to the Christians of the world. The end, what's happening? Are you ready or laying in the back of bitch, swimming lukewarm? Has your faith been lacking and you believe anymore? Or are there some cracks in it you ain't addressing? Sound. Only Jesus on the crown. Take a mental note right now. Find a journal, write it down. Where your faith, I didn't bounce. Time to come back, no renounce. May return, are you found? Can you imagine sitting in the park in the heat? Stomach empty, starving to eat. Palms are sweaty, heart starting to beat. About to get beheaded cause you didn't take the mark of the beast. Bill Gates doesn't care about black teens. He's trying to alter our DNA by giving us vaccines. These elite Satanists are the psychoists. They're preparing our bodies to accept the microchip. We even got liberals trying to become like Rambo. Going to Bass Pro, buying up the guns and ammo. Instead of sporting flannels, now they're buying camos. If you don't think this is end times, just read the book of Daniel. COVID-19 got me Googling my next Ruger and going to target practice to become the best shooter. I'm questioning Sandy Hook and I'm a 9/11 truther that's sick of getting duped by that goof Anderson Cooper. What you think they're doing right now? They testing us. These stimulus checks were distributed to invest in us. It's population control. They want less of us. They want to take out the weak and only keep the rest of us. I'm battle tested like a barbarian, and I got the scars to prove it like a cesarean. I feel like I'm half white and I'm half Targaryen. The devil wants to kill me for the cross that I'm carrying. Can you imagine sitting in the park in the heat? Stomach empty, starving to eat. Palms are sweaty, heart starting to beat. About to get beheaded cause you didn't take the mark of the beast. Bill Gates doesn't care about black teens. He's trying to alter our DNA by giving us vaccines. These elite Satanists are the psychoists. They're preparing our bodies to accept the microchip. Can you imagine walking into a Wells Fargo? Not being able to withdraw money because you ain't got a barcode on your right hand or your forehead. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're gonna fall to the floor dead. Head cut off. Bodies squirming, our own government acting like Nazi Germans. They want us to live in fear, filled with uncertainty. One world government.
government under one currency. I can categorically say that this is end times. This virus is breaking us down just like an enzyme. There's pedophiles leaving men and women childrenless. These politicians are dummies and the devil's a ventriloquist. All this evil stemming from Epstein's island. Gavin Newsom ain't your governor, he's a tyrant. He took away everything that makes us happy and vibrant and put a mask on us to keep us silent. Can you imagine sitting in the park in the heat? Stomach empty, starving to eat. Palms are sweaty, heart starting to beat. About to get beheaded cause you didn't take the mark of the beast. Bill Gates doesn't care about black teens. He's trying to alter our DNA by giving us vaccines. These elite Satanists are the psychoists. They're preparing our bodies to accept the microchip.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.